The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
Yes, listen to the fans. It is the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, the second ever talking footy like you talk footy. We're going to get our heads around round two. I'm going to give you our legend of the week, the AFLW Grand Final, that James Sicily free kick. We're going to ask, who is worse off at the moment, Essendon or Melbourne? Were Geelong good or were Melbourne just really, really shit? Richmond without Rance and now with Riewoldt? Or how good were the Pies? And we're going to have round three. You're going to chat about it. Is it make or break? Or are we making too much of this starting 0-3 for the season? I am Rabs. I'm joined here by Rudy Edsel.
Good afternoon, Rabs.
How you going, mate? And, of course, Ethan Meldrum. Ethan, how you going?
Jesus, get my name right.
Ace.
Look, I'm a bit
so flat. It's already been a bad enough weekend.
Yeah, it has been. Melbourne suck. And so does my immune system, by the looks of it, because I've got a terrible case of man flu. So, Rudy, you're doing the heavy lifting.
Oh, good. Well, that's all right. I'm quite capable of that. So, let's see how we go. I was going to kick off with the legend of the week. And there's only really one woman it can be this week. That's the great, the brilliant Erin Phillips.
Oh, of course.
Isn't she just the queen of footy, AFLW? There's no one better.
She's so far and away the best player in that competition. It's not funny.
Definitely thought you were going to swear there. So she had, on the weekend, she had 18 touches and 2 goals, did her knee sort of midway through the third term, still won the best on in the granny, still won the MVP all up. They're having the equivalent of the Brownlow tonight. We're doing this on Tuesday. I'm sure she'll take that. The only thing left for the AFLW to decide on is which of the medals they name after her, because you could go with any of them because she's won everything.
Well, surely it's the BNF, because in all likelihood she'll win 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
That's such an important legacy, and like this is what's driven AFLW to such an impressive start, and it's been led by Erin Phillips.
Yeah.
How could you not?
Yeah, you absolutely could. She's also, I mean, she's also got the basketball background as well. So she's just
an all-round gun.
Just a freak athlete.
She's a phenom.
She is a phenom.
And there's so many things to talk about from that Sunday game at Adelaide Oval. We can talk about the crowd. We can talk about the match itself. But I think more importantly, while we're talking about Erin Phillips, is I don't think we've seen ever in the history of football someone to do their knee and literally every single person on the field, opposition and your own team, come over to the cart that you're getting stretchered off on and literally visibly be moved and wanting to touch you and congratulate you.
Just maybe see if some of her skill will rub off into your hands.
Some of the magic.
Like Carlton is sitting there getting thumped in a grand final.
They
were down, 9-1 at halftime. Mm-hmm. And they're all still getting around. I haven't seen anything comparative to that probably since maybe when Chris Judd did his ACL.
He did
get a standing ovation.
Another
Carlton
Adelaide game, wasn't it? Mm. And that was the other thing to consider. 53,000 there all gave her a standing ovation on the way off, which was pretty incredible. And you could tell it rattled the girls, because I don't think there was another goal kicked in the game. It was kind of like, let's just sort of, get this
over
with.
Let's wrap this one up.
Yeah, she had that chat with Sam Lane afterwards where she was basically like, I'll try and get back, but
she's 34.
Yeah, 33 or 34, and she can do sort of anything now. She can go into the media or work in basketball or footy administration or whatever. The world is her oyster.
It's a big call, but it's going to take a lot of beating to beat that legend of the week. So, Erin Phillips, tip of the hat to you. While we're on the AFLW Grand Final, Rudy, we can talk about the fact that Carlton probably shouldn't have been there in the conference system. But I think what we should talk about is the overwhelming positive response, both physically at the ground and I think on social media and the TV audience as well.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Massive TV audience. Outrated North Brisbane, I believe. There's 53,000 there, which is incredible. There's a bit of chat that was like, it would have been 10,000 there if it was free. I don't know if that's true. It's not often you get to see an event of that size at Adelaide Oval. It's an AFL grand final. People would have gone.
As a few very wise people pointed out on social media, how many people turned up to the Sheffield Shield final?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So which was also, gold coin donation?
Yeah. It might be free, but you still have to take 3-4 hours out of your day, head in there, watch the game. Like,
You have to be in Adelaide.
You have to be in Adelaide. Don't, like, seriously, I don't understand the knockers of this. Still.
Yeah. I think it's such a positive thing as well. Like, I went to my first AFLW game this year because the last couple of years I've been working during them, and you've never seen a more positive audience. It's actually so great. Everyone's just actually happy, which you never see at any male footy game, I can tell you that for sure.
Well, I'm looking at Ethan, but there's a stat going, because he's our stats guy, but there's a stat going around that it was a bigger crowd than any NRL game bar the grand final last year.
Yeah, that's truly incredible.
It wouldn't be a Triple M footy fan podcast if we didn't kick the boots into that shit Northern State game.
Yeah, Rab's pointing at me for NRL stats like I give a shit about that sport. Come on.
It wasn't even close as well. It was like 80,000 at the granny for NRL, and then the next biggest crowd was like 43,000. So
yeah, I think it out-attended like 8 out of 10 showdowns at Adelaide
that's
Oval.
That's pretty remarkable. I think it was the fifth most attended sporting event at Adelaide Oval. That there has been. So
you can't diss that. You can't slam that.
No. So another tip of the hat to the AFLW Grand Final as a whole, holistically.
Yes, holistically. Not as good on Sunday. The Sicily free kick, James Sicily free kick, where Jared Rufford, I think, might have been having a set shot to put the Hawthorn ahead because scores were level. The Hawks had been 5 goals up at 3 quarter time. Dogs came roaring back. Jared Roughhead has a set shot. You'd think he'd score at least a point from it. Sicily, does a bit of pushing and shoving, throws the fist, free kick overturned, goal Dogs. And pretty much, you could argue it decided the game. It's been called, Damien Barrett yesterday called it the worst free kick in the history of the game, given the way the game's been umpired. What did you guys make of it?
Oh, it'd be close. I mean, I think it was really the momentum shift that it's been made out to be, because the Dogs, the way they played that last quarter, were winning that game anyway. But, man, the suggestion that you can use, like, whatever force you used your fist with is still counting as using your fist is ridiculous. Like, you can place your fist on someone and, like, with no force whatsoever, and it counts as a free kick. That's absurd.
Well, I mean, I don't... If they pay it every week, I'm okay with it. But will they? Did they pay it in even other games that round?
Look, I went to Thursday night's game between Collingwood and Richmond, and that game was over officiated, and you can usually tell from the first one or two games of the round what the rest of the games are going to be officiated like. And so from that game until the Sunday twilight game between Gold Coast and Fremantle, every single game was over officiated,
and no game has been better when it's been over officiated.
Exactly, some more than the other. Best game of football is when you don't notice the umpires.
Yes,
hands down.
Absolutely. Yep.
Right? So yeah. I don't understand this over-officiating from the umpires. It's frustrating, one, as a fan being there going, not knowing what that free kick was for. I noticed the MCG started putting up little things on the big screen saying, free kick for holding the ball. Of the decisions, because not even the people running the MCG scoreboard knew what was going on half the time. So, look...
The flip side of the coin is that it meant Hawthorn lost, and I can get behind that. That's always funny.
As Ethan said, though, besides that Sicily free kick, they were losing that game. They had no momentum in the second half. They'd lost two players to injury.
Yeah.
And the Dogs, and I'll put my head up in saying this, before the season started, I thought they were going to be horror. They look unreal going inside 50. Going inside 50, I don't think there's more dynamic team at the moment, because you don't know who they're going to kick to, because always moving around. They don't have that tall forward. They've got Norton, they've got Gowers, they've got
Josh Shackey, who was brilliant on the weekend. Shacktack.
Well, he is a tall forward, but he's still very mobile as well. So hats off. I think the Doggies look great. And like you said, it's really, really good waking up on a Monday morning to Hawthorn being
Hawthorn losing, but also them having the grievance of the umpires being against them. It's like no one remembers the
free kick Bulldogs.
The Duckies, yeah.
Well, speaking of teams that are losing and teams that we don't mind being on the losing end,
Ryan.
Essendon is who I was saying. But I was actually at the Melbourne Geelong game as well. And you want to ask the question, Rudy, who's going worse at the moment? I will hands down and say Essendon, because Melbourne had 73 inside 50s against Geelong at GMHBA 7QLTP Stadium. So that is a lot of the footy. Mind you, if they didn't have Gorn or Oliver, they would not have, or Brayshaw, they wouldn't have anywhere near that.
Yeah, Oliver's had, 44 touches and about 7 million clearances.
Whereas Essendon lost to St Kilda.
At least Melbourne's got a couple of talented players in their midfield.
Yeah.
I don't know where Essendon's at. I really don't.
Nor do they. They're coming off the interchange bench and just letting Jack Loney just run off with the footy. Wasn't that the funniest piece of vision of the week? Easily.
All it was missing was Guelphy or Langford's mum standing on the sideline saying, "Dinner is on, you've got to get in off the street now."
Yeah, I told you, when the street lights are out, you've got to come inside.
And he's seeing, like, oh shit, and like, got to go. Like, that's what it was like.
It's like one of those memes where, you know, come over, nobody's home.
Yeah,
and just walked off the field. Yeah, like, no consideration. In fact, the ball is right next to them.
I can't.
What are you doing?
I can't. Yeah. It's the second quarter of the St Kilda Eston game at Marvel. And my parents aren't home. But
it looked hilariously deplorable.
It did, didn't it? Surely there'd been a free kick paid. I was in a pub and I only had this. I don't think they had the sound on, but surely there was a free kick paid to Jack Loney there. There had to have been.
I don't know.
Well,
even then, why are you going off the field? The ball is in play.
Yeah. Essendon, they had to beat St Kilda on the weekend. And actually, you could argue that the chat in the lead up was disrespectful.
All
St Kilda
that missed was this.
Yeah, all the chat in the lead up to that game was pretty much just openly disrespectful to St Kilda. I was like, oh, we won't learn anything about Essendon this weekend. They'll clearly beat St Kilda. And then it even looked like they were going to win in that game. St Kilda just kept like burning chance after chance, and Essendon came back and you're like, okay, they'll get him here. Nah, they still fell apart.
Yeah, St Kilda could have won that game by 5 goals.
Should have won that game by 5 goals.
Jay Gresham. He's their best player by far.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a freak.
Unreal.
He's a freak. Their midfield, which consists of Seb Ross, a guy who looks like Seb Ross, someone else who looks like Seb Ross.
Jack.
And I think
Jack
another.
Jack, yeah. The Seb Jack attack. Ross.
Jade. That is James, Jaron.
They just overpowered. Like Rowan Marshall, never heard of him. And he dominated that game as well for St Kilda. Like,
yep.
Hats off to him.
I tell you who I like.
You can't discount the fact Brett Rutten is at that team now.
I tell you who I like is Matt Walker in their forward line.
Pat Parker.
Yeah.
In their St forward Kilda line. Dusty.
Yeah. With old neck tats. And he's just he just adds something, a little bit of that word you used before, dynamic. Dynamism in their forward line, which they've really lacked. Melbourne, we've mentioned. Did they flatter the Cats, or are the Cats actually really, really good?
Well, before we answer that, quick word: St Kilda or Melbourne? Essendon or Melbourne? Who are worse?
Essendon.
Yep. Okay,
cool.
Didn't need to think about that.
Yeah. Melbourne, were they like? Did they flatter the Cats? What actually? Like, how do we read this? I mean, Ethan and I, for the last what are we up to? Our fourth season of covering footy here.
Yeah.
So for the last three and a bit seasons, we've always said you can't tell anything about Geelong until they get spanked on prelim day.
No. Right?
Yeah, you never learn anything about them.
Like, you always know Geelong is good until they like lose an elimination final to Melbourne or something.
That's
like
right. So did we learn anything this weekend? Are they good?
I think we have. I reckon for the first time in like 3 or 4 years, we've sort of learned they're
definitively
good again.
That they're good.
We've learned they're good again.
It's remarkable that they finished second 2 years in a row without ever actually. You could never tell if they were good or not. But I think they actually. I reckon you're right. I reckon they're actually good.
I was just going to say I loved. I think it was Richo who said during the telecast they developed their own. Speaking about a team that has Luke Dalhouse, Gary Warren, your dad's name. Patrick Dangerfield, Lockie Henderson, and about 4,378 other ex-club players.
Mate, your dad would have scored a goal on Saturday night.
That's true, but all of those blokes that you've just named are from Geelong. Grew up Geelong fans, played for the Geelong Falcons, the footy factory.
Mm.
So I think that's what he's getting.
Do you know what the funniest thing about Geelong is? The most Geelong-looking human being ever, Tom Stewart, is actually from Mansfield.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
He didn't want to. He basically told recruiters on they came for him because he's playing in the Geelong Footy League down there.
Like, and nah.
They said, come to wherever. He's like, oh, pretty happy here. And Geelong.
It's like, South Barwon.
Yeah. Geelong were like, what about here? And he's like, oh, don't have to move. Sweet.
No, Matty Scarlett was the one that said, shit or get off the pot.
Yeah.
Because you're dominating this league.
Yeah.
And he did. So
and he did.
I think the question is, was Geelong good or were Melbourne bad? Combination of both. I think Melbourne were actually good around the ground. They just physically could not score. They kicked it to 2-on-1 contest. They just bombed it in. They had no forward line pressure.
They just kept torping it onto, you know, Petraka's head.
Yeah, exactly. I think
He got targeted 14 times inside 50. They didn't score a
zero
single
marks.
Point.
He took. Yeah,
didn't score a single point.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, well, Geelong's the last team you can do that to because they're so organised behind the ball there. And speaking of teams that behind the ball organisation, Richmond, no Rants, now no Riewoldt, and didn't the Pies take full advantage?
Yeah, they bossed them. They bossed them. They had a gazillion possessions behind the footy. At halftime, they had a record number of marks, and then I think they finished off with the fifth most in AFL history since Champion Data started recording stats. And everyone in the back line at Collingwood just got a million touches.
Yeah.
Because there was no pressure.
I think I remember reading that, like, the top 17 Dream Team scorers were Collingwood players.
It was nuts. Just kick, which mark, is kick, ridiculous. Mark, kick,
it was like watching, it was like a souped up version. Remember how Hawthorn used to do that, where they'd just kick the ball around to, like, non-contests and just get a goal?
Yeah.
That was what it looked like. And it was basically, it was like keepings off. It was literally keepings off.
I tell you, I would have strangely loved that game on, what, Thursday or Friday night, whenever it was. Joel Bowden.
Yeah. It was the Joel Bowdenest game of footy since Joel Bowden played.
Yes.
I reckon Joel Bowden looked at that rule where the players don't have to kick themselves from a kick out and gone, that's f***ing cost me, like, at least 6,000 disposals in my career.
He's like, I would have just put myself in my dream team. Yeah. And
just chuck the
C
on.
Yeah, left it on there. I did like Collingwood's banner. Many sleepless nights staring at their clocks. Tigers have been having nightmares about Cox.
Yeah.
You actually didn't have...
Well, Dylan Grimes is at the moment.
Well, yeah. You didn't have a huge game, but it's not on the rundown, but let's have a quick chat about that.
The decision to suspend him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're... So at 5 o'clock this evening, they are challenging that, and so they should, because basically he's been suspended for being tall there.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a head taller than Dylan Grimes.
I don't mind it being a free kick, but a week off, and then Grimes gets the same suspension for elbowing Dugowie in the face.
Mm.
Come on, guys. Like, let's have a little bit of consistency here.
Well, and Michael Christian went on the AFL.com.au yesterday to try and say, oh, this is the reason why we suspended him. He hit him 35 metres off the ball, blah, blah, blah. Mate, he stood in his way, so Grimes couldn't go, because Elliott was just about to make a lead for that footy.
Yep.
And that's why he did it. And it happens all the time. Mm. And it's just the softest thing. And then Grimes going to ground. And then apparently Richmond's medical assistant said they checked him for concussion. If you're getting concussed from that.
Well, if he's been concussed, why is he out on the field to elbow Jamie Elliott a little bit later?
We'll wait and see on that one, mate.
Mm.
So we've already spoken about Melbourne and Essendon, and they actually come up against each other Friday night. Too early to say round three is a make or break for those two clubs?
I reckon Melbourne can still make the finals from 0-3. Essendon absolutely cannot. If Essendon lose, they are stuffed.
Melbourne's going to have 90 inside 50s no matter what. It just depends on what they do with them.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you needed someone like a Charlie Spargo to put full pressure on, and then he got his jaw broken in a VFL practice match.
Yeah, the poor bugger. He's eating soup from a straw.
Mm.
We've got a few make or breaks here. I reckon Carlton-Sydney is a big one. Carlton are they're a chance to get Sydney here. They've looked pretty average.
If Charlie Kerno gets up to play, because it looks like he's going to be off for a few weeks.
Yeah, I think three. I think I said 3 weeks yesterday. I'm pretty sure he's already ruled out.
Which is a lot better than what was first thought.
Yes. That's true. GWS Richmond, I reckon, is quietly a big game too. Richmond need to bounce back. Struggled away the last couple of years.
And if Richmond lose that to GWS, next week they have Port Adelaide in Adelaide.
Oh,
so they could be 1-3.
Oh, could boy. Be 1-3. Jeez.
And that's that really didn't look likely. And then Hawthorn North is a big game as well, because there was a lot of chat about North and how they've recruited for now.
I had them in my top eight.
Yeah, I had them ninth.
Away from that.
If they go 0-3 here, I reckon it's a massive result.
It's at the G, so you'd want to back Hawthorn in at the G, but they lost to the Doggies, who play 24 out of their 22 games a season at Etihad.
Yeah.
Or Marvel, I should say. So who knows? Who knows? No Burgoyne, no Shields. Yeah, it's a tough one, that one, Hawthorn North Melbourne. So, and that's those. It's games like that they're going to buy into my flywire door coming up very shortly.
Very shortly.
Hot tip.
Ooh,
And the grand final rematch Saturday night. I would have backed the Pies in, but I forgot that someone by the name of Andrew Gaff is going to make his return for the first time in about 6 months.
The AFL's done that deliberately, haven't they? They have done that deliberately. No, I still think the Pies will get them, to be honest. I reckon West Coast are still working some of the pre-season off at the moment.
Right. It is underrated how well West Coast travel.
Yes, true. Yeah,
yeah, they travelled really well to get the game around.
Aside
one.
From that, yeah,
Pies got the runs on the board. They looked pretty good.
I do.
With that said, I didn't watch West Coast smash. I didn't see much of West Coast smashing GWS, so I could be completely ignoring them. And sorry if that's the case, West Coast.
Yeah, and apparently Cornelio can't handle the tag because he got 50 Supercoach points. So thank you,
Spoken
Stephen.
Like a man who has Stephen Cornelio in his Supercoach team.
Sorry, he might get about 500 this week.
And as captain. Righto, so it's the segment that we definitely 100% categorically have not sampled from Damien
D. Barrett.
Let's just call him D. AFL,
Barrett.
Or Damien B.
Damien B.
with his sliding doors. It's our flywire doors to round off the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast, talking footy like you talk footy. Ethan, I'm going to go to you first for your flywire door from round three.
Pointing at Rudy saying that. Mine is sort of related to what we touched on with West Coast. The team that beat them in round one, Brisbane, if they beat Port Adelaide this week at home and go 3-0, then they will be playing a home final this year.
Whoa. A home final.
Wow.
That's a top six finish.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it. Mm. I like it, Eth.
Now you've put your nurries on the line there. I like that. That, you know what?
That's a big call.
That's worthy of a
big call. Thank you, Ryan.
Mm. Big call. Love it.
Top that.
My flywire door is if Sydney lose to Carlton this week, they will miss finals for the first time since Methuselah was a boy.
So big call.
Mate, they're missing finals anyway.
Look, my flywire door is if the AFL season game results continue to go like this, you may win your work footy tipping competition with about 25 at season's end because it is impossible to tip at the moment.
I'm more likely to get more tips by just not tipping and getting all the away teams and the underdogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, is the kiss of death still winning?
Probably.
He would have
got six or seven in the first week. Can I have another flywire door? I just thought of one.
Yeah, go.
Please.
Okay. If North go 0-3 this week, Brad Scott will be sacked before the end of the year.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, is it a big call or not?
No, I'm not.
I just want the big calls.
Suck shit, Rudy.
It is the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast for another round. We'll be back next Tuesday to run our minds through the results from Thursday through to Sunday. As always, make sure you keep it locked into Triple M for all your footy coverage. Don't forget all our footy stories as well. triplem.com.au. We'll see you next week.